Okay, up to Ezra, Perek Dalid, Pasuk Ches. We learned yesterday, we discussed at great length, the Ksav HaNishtadon, right? The Ksav that has been the explicit text of the document was written in Aramaic and was the letters were Aramaic and the language was Aramaic. We explained yesterday that until Ezra, this is going to all change at this time in history, where no longer will the Jewish people use Ksav Ivri, no longer will they use Aramaic as their primary language. They will begin to use now the script, the Hebrew script, Lashon HaKodesh, and the Hebrew language will be their daily language they will use in their daily conversation. So we basically learned over here that the people who are living in the land, the Kusim, who are living in the land from the time of Sancheirif and Sancheirif's son, Chasar, they will live from the people that were living here. They now presented an accusation, a sitna, against the Jewish people. They did not want them to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and they sent a letter to Artaxerxes, who is none other than Koresh. Koresh Melch Paras. He has many names, multiple names. He was called Koresh. He was called Artaxerxes. He was called Daryovesh, not to be confused with the other two people who are called Daryovesh. His son, his grandson Daryovesh, and his father-in-law Daryovesh Hamadai. And we discussed yesterday this one usual word. Just to review, Artaxerxes. It comes from a Persian word. It's a generic word which means the leader of Persia. Just like that, we have Paro is always the leader of Egypt, and we have the word Avimelech that it always represents the leader of the Plishtim. This word Artaxerxes is a word which refers to the leader of Persia. It's a composite of two words. Art means the great, the Elta, the great. What?
So that's
discussed, because that would mean that it was one specific person. And Rashi explicitly says, not like that. I mean, he was the first, they borrowed from him. Rashi says that every person who was the leader of Paras was called, V'chol HaMalchus Kula, was called Nikres Artaxerxes. Every leader of the nation was called Artaxerxes. Just like Paro and just like Avimelech. Okay, it's
a title.
It became a title. It could be that it was referring to a specific person at that time. He was the first, but his name, he was the first leader, so it's not so far-fetched to say. It could be the first leader of Egypt was called Paro, and from there on in, every single leader was called Paro. The first leader of the Plishtim nation was called Avimelech, so could it be that all of the following leaders were called by the name of the first leader, Avimelech, and that's the same thing over here, true for the first person, but it's also a Persian word. It's a composite of art. Art means the great. Shasta means kingdom. It's translated as the kingdom, Malchus, kingdom. So the two words together means the great one of the kingdom. Sha. Which word? This the yeah really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I said I guess so. You have two tavs. Two tavs and two shins.
16:10.
Wow, that's very interesting. Okay, that's a very good thing to go and delve into. Okay,
it's a fact.
Let's go now into Pasuk Ches, Ruchum. So now we have over here the names. We have the exact letter, the text of the letter. Here we go. Ruchum, Be'el Te'im. Ruchum, who was Be'el Te'im. Now, Be'el Te'im, Loshon of Ba'al. Now, by the way, we're going into Aramaic. We're going back to Sefer Daniel, where we had a lot of Aramaic. And now we're going to return to a big chunk of Sefer Ezra is written in Aramaic. Why? So, Mi Lonu Godel Mirav Schwab, Zecha Tzadik Levracha. And he writes, I do not know why half of Sefer Ezra is in Aramaic. For some reason, it was the Anshei Knesset HaGdol who wrote Sefer Ezra. They wanted the Hamoin Am to, this is what he suggests, they desperately wanted the Hamoin Am to be familiar with what it says in Sefer Ezra. So just like today, if you want people to really understand something, you'll write it in English, the universal language. The people wanted everyone to know the history of the Jewish people during this this very difficult time in between the Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Therefore, most of it was written in Aramaic, so everyone should study and learn what happened at this time in history. Mm-hmm. So we have Ruchum. Ruchum is the name of a person. He was Be'el Te'im. He was the chief of staff. Or, I don't know, he's not the chief of staff, he's not living in Persia, he's living here in Eretz Yisrael, but he means he was a counselor. Be'el comes from the word Ba'al, the master. Te'aim of Ta'am. Ta'am means flavor, reason, logic. He was looked upon in this region as a wise man, as an advisor, as a counselor. So Ruchum, his name was Ruchum, he was Be'el Te'aim, who was the master of logic, of reason. Vishimshai Sofro, he was the scribe. In those times, not everyone knew how to write. That's a debate, that's a very big debate. If they knew how to write, they didn't know, they were literate, not literate, but he was the scribe. He had a great talent for putting things in writing. Kisavu, they wrote Igra Chada, a singular document. Still means one document, but here it means unique. There was a lot of chokhmah, a lot of skill that went into putting this document together. Al Yerushalem, concerning Yerushalayim. Notice Yerushalayim, there's no Yud. We're going to discuss that today, later on. We discussed the letter Yud today. So every time in Tanakh, the Yerushalayim is written without the letter Yud, with the exception of Megillas Esther. That's the only place in Tanakh where the Yud appears, but here we have Yerushalayim. Le'artach Shasta, Malka. This letter was written al, concerning the situation that was taking place in Yerushalayim too. The king, Artach Shasta Malka, Koresh, who is known as Artach Shasta, Kinema means like Lamar, saying, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, Lamar, like the Gemara says, Kide Amrinan, like we said, or like we will say, Kinema as follows. The text, we have a letter that was composed by the chief advisor, Rechaim. It was written and put into words by the scribe called Shimshai. They wrote this letter, a singular letter concerning Yerushalayim, directed, addressed to Artach Shasta, the king, Kinema, and this is the following are the words that were written in the letter. A very long Hagdama, if you notice, we have here over here from the beginning of the parak, a very long Hagdama to this letter. Edayin then. Pasuk test then. Rechum be'el te'im. V'shimshai sofra. And Shimshai the scribe. U'sha'or kinovoshon. They're companions. Kinovoshon, as we had this before in yesterday, so it means they're friends. They're colleagues. Now, who are their colleagues? Now, when it says here, this pasuk test is the header. It's the letterhead of the stationer. It's very confusing. A lot of these psukim in these prokin, because the pasuk has concluded kinema as follows. So now you would expect the letter to begin. No. Pasuk test is not beginning with the actual text of the letter. It's giving us the letterhead. Like you have shul stationery. You have over here who is the board of trustees, who is the president, who is the rabbi, who is the executive director, and so on and so forth. So here, that's what it said. This is the letterhead, Edayin. It appears that this word Edayin appeared on the letterhead. Edayin then, Ruchum, Be'el Te'im. He was the chief counselor. I guess that was like the president, the most distinguished member of the group. The Shimshai Sofra. In those days, they gave great honor to the scribe. Today, or they tell you the second you tell them fresh letter. Sometimes on the very bottom of the letter, I'm sure you're all aware, they have a slash to the initials of who the letter was written to, and the acronym of the secretary.
CC.
No, not that. CC is carbon copy on the very bottom.
By whom?
Right. So you don't always see that. Not everyone always, but over here. It comes from that. I mean, that the secretary, the whoever typed up the letter, gets credit for typing up the letter, and that's exactly it comes from here. That's what was done in ancient times. They actually wrote the person, the Shimshai Sofra. He was a scribe. Ushar Chinovoshon and their companions. Who are they? So it lists them. Now we are not familiar with these nations. These are non-Jews who are living in the land. Seemingly, they were brought here by Sancheriv and his son. They were sent here we learned 180 years ago, they were put here in this land, and they were living in Eretz Yisrael, and these are names of nations. Number one is Dinoye, okay, a nation, we don't know who they are. V'afar Sas Choye, another nation. Tar Peloye, Afor Soye, Arkovoye, and the Kriyas Arkivoye, Vavloye, they were Babylonians. Shushan Choye, from Shush, maybe from Shush, not necessarily, but maybe, okay. Dehoye, okay, it's a Krivich Sivit, change of Vav to a Yud. And El Moye, nine nations. Okay, so it's, I think, very good. We learned yesterday, the woman who came, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yes, they learned about the letter Tess, the significance of the letter Tess. Here you have here nine nations living in this land who appeared on the letterhead. The letter that's being sent to the king of Persia, coming to complain that the Jews are rebelling. Who is writing this letter? Well, the one who's writing it, the one in charge, his name is Rechum. The scribe is Shimshai. And we represent the following nine nations. What are they? Now, Ushar Umayya, okay, and other. Now, here we have just a general catch-all expressions. There are other people that are living here as well. Ushar Umayya, the Higli, which were exiled, Osnapar Rabbah. The great Osnapar. Who is the great Osnapar? That is Sanhedrin. We'll learn the Rashi in a few moments. Here's another word for Viyakira, and the great and the honored. It's very interesting that they're calling him a competitor by a title of honor, because we can be certain that in this time period of the world where one power conquers another world power, they don't think very much of their predecessors. So here they're talking to Persia. Paras already conquered Babel. And Babel was conquered Ashur. Look at the whole world history. Who was the major player of the world 180 years before? It was Ashur. Babel didn't exist. Babel was a nothing nation, a third world nation. No one even cared about Babel, about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar rose out of nowhere and conquered Ashur. Assyria was wiped out. Then comes along Modai, together with Paras, and wipes out Babel, Nebuchadnezzar. And now we have Koresh, Paras, which really came even really a little bit after the Modai. It was an alliance with Modai, but now they're back. And now, when they're sending a letter to Paras, they're saying, oh, remember the good old days. The good old days of Assyria. The great Osnapar, Ashur, and look at the honor they give him. He's the Rabbah, the great, and the honored. It's interesting that you call when you send a letter, exalt, you send a letter to a king, you're referring to another king who's long gone as the great and exalted, which is a chiddush, because I don't know today, if you're writing a letter to a king and you refer to his competitor, you wouldn't say about the competitor they're great and exalted. Yeah,
maybe the greater they make him look, the greater they look, but they overcame them.
Okay, you have to say something along those lines. But it's definitely an interesting point that they're giving honor to someone else in the press. Like we have a halacha that you're not allowed to be a talmid, a student. But I'll give you go in front of your rebbe. Yeah, you go in front of the rebbe and you give more honor to the student than the rebbe. Right, the Rashiva is standing there with one of his talmidim, and you start calling the student, oh, the great Rashiva. That's an insult to the rabbi. You don't give honor. You have to know how to give honor to a person in the right time and the right place. You don't give honor to someone that is a subordinate in the presence of his master. And that's seemingly what they are doing over here. The great Osnapar Rabbah V'yakira V'chosef himo, and chosef means to put. Himo means them. Them referring to the referring to these nations, referring to the entire long list of nations, the nine nations that we listed above. Bekir Yasod di Shomroyin, in the city of Shomron. Okay, the Aramaic equivalent of Shomron is Shomroyin. We have to remember that Ashur only conquered the Malchus of Yisrael. He did not conquer the Malchus of Yehuda. And when he conquered the Malchus of Yisrael, he exiled the Aseres HaShvatim. He brought them to Babel, and he replaced them with these nine nations, primarily with the Kusim. With the Kusim, they took the lead. And where were they settled? They took up the capital of the Aseres HaShvatim, which was Shomron. Shomron was equivalent to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was the capital of the Malchus of Yehuda, and Shomron and the surrounding region was the capital of Yisrael. Ushar Avar Nahara, and we also represent all of the people on the other side of the river. Now, what does this mean? So this is referred to over and over in the entire Sefer Ezra, that the Euphrates runs down to the west of Eretz Yisrael. It was considered to divide Paras, the Euphrates, Bavel, from the region of Eretz Yisrael. And everything on one side was called, all it was relative to where you lived. If you lived in Bavel, then you refer to everything on the other side of Paras, of the Euphrates, you considered it to be the Avar Nahara, the other side of the river. If you were living in Eretz Yisrael, or that region, or in Mitzrayim, or in Aram, or in Edom, that entire region, then you would look at Bavel and those nations of Asher and Bavel, all the nations to the southwest, you would consider that to be the Avar on the other side of the river. This is not to be confused with the Yarden. Go there and learn the Chumash. So the Eder HaYarden, you think about Jordan. We're not discussing over here the Yarden. We're discussing over here the Euphrates. Euphrates, and that river which runs down, or that really goes from Eretz Yisrael some down in between these two chunks of land. One refers to the region of Bavel and Ashur, and the other side, going slightly to the northeast, is Eretz Yisrael and that entire region. That is called the Avar Nahara. So here they're sending a message to Paras, to Persia, that we here, we nine nations, represent everyone on the other side of the Euphrates. And Ucheenes. Now what is Ucheenes? So simply it means it's the name of a nation, another nation, the tenth nation. Or it can mean Canaan. It's another way, it's the Aramaic equivalent of referring to the land of Canaan. Now what is the land of Canaan? So Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Canaan, the whole Eretz Yisrael. But in this point in time, Canaan was really referred to the very north. I guess what we would say today was like Aram Tzova, Lebanon, the very north of Eretz Yisrael is what they called at this point in time Canaan. Even if you would call the lower portion Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yehuda, Binyamin, Shimron, what was north of these areas was called Ucheenes, which many Mepharshim say is equivalent to the land of Canaan. Okay, so we have over here these two psukim which enumerate all of the nations. Let's see the Mitzvahs and Rashi quickly. Pasuk Tes, Edayin, Ozden. So according to the Mitzudos David, he says Edayin does not appear to be part of the text. Edayin just means then, even though Pasuk Ches concluded with Kinema, this is the text of the document in Pasuk Ches. Let's go back to Pasuk Ches, because let's go back one Pasuk in the Mitzudas David, Pasuk Ches, Be'el Te'im. Hayodel Asad Divri Aksav Be'melitza Na'osa. Be'el Te'im means he's a counselor. He knows language. He has the proper nuances of expression to express the idea that they wanted to tell Koresh. Now, there's a very important point which explains why they needed such a specialist in writing, because there was a great deception taking place here in this letter. Koresh issued a decree that the Jewish people are permitted to return to the land and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The law of the land was, and we find this with Achashverosh in the Megillah, when a edict is issued by the king, by the Melech of Paras, it's irreversible. There's nothing that can possibly be done to reverse the edict. And that's why the edict of Lahashmid Laharugul Abed is called Ayudim Minaviyad Zakein Taf Nashabi Omechod could not be reversed. It was irreversible. And the only thing that Esther can do after the miracle happened and Haman was killed was the king would issue another edict that the Jews have the right to defend themselves. Even though it's true that there was an edict that you're allowed to kill a Jew, but the Jews can get up and they can defend themselves and protect themselves. So the second edict was a very great sakana. Just because the miracle happened, that's why the Megillah, you study the Megillah very carefully, the miracle happened. Mordechai yotzam lefnei hamelech belevush malchus techeles V'chur, fine, very good. It's not over yet because there is an edict that the Jews can be killed and no one's going to go to prison for killing a Jew on that particular day. So they had to issue another edict, Adraba. People, the Jews can come and defend themselves. You see that idea?
They can't defend themselves.
No, it seems not. That's all part of the idea, or it's a psychological that we have nothing to worry about. If we're allowed to kill them, they can't deny that it was self-understood. They can't defend themselves. So it was a counterbalance. It changed the whole dynamics of what was happening. So we have the same exact thing over here. The Kikoresh issued a decree that the Jewish people have a right to return and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. What could they possibly do now? How can these people, Rechum and Shimshai, representing the Kusim, and all of these 9 or 10 nations, go and write a letter to the king? What could the king already issued an edict they can rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? So what they did was, first of all, they wrote this in Aramaic. And there's much, the commentators discuss at great length, why are they writing in Aramaic? So yesterday we mentioned very briefly, it was a very sophisticated language, it was like the universal language, that's one approach. But the other approach is, Quraysh did not know Aramaic. He didn't know it. He only knew Persian. That's all he knew. What's the called Persian language? Farsi?
Parsi.
Parsi was Farsi. 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 He did not know Aramaic. He didn't know the language. That means that when the letter arrived, it had to be translated. Oh, it had to be translated. So when you translate something, a lot gets lost in the translation. And that was done by design, and it was written in a very clever way in Aramaic, where they knew when they would translate, we know that you write English, you fall in certain traps. When you have certain Hebrew words, certain expressions, the way you translate from Hebrew to English is very tricky. It's very tricky, and there are certain things which you fall into, which... And ad hayom hazeh, we suffer from this, that we assume we translate certain psukim which are not 100% accurate. That's the way it is. This is the way it is. We it's self-understood. Even the first pasukim are Bereishis bara Elokim, in the beginning. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, doesn't say in the one who says in the beginning is the Targum. Rashi has a whole different interpretation of what it means Bereishis. And article prides themselves and always say that you look in the article Chumash, if the stone edition, you have the stone edition?
In the beginning of creation.
Does mean in the beginning. Who says in the beginning? The Targum Unkelus, Bereishis, he translates in the beginning. So a lot gets lost in translation. They were very well aware of this, and they purposely wrote this in Aramaic. In a way, that's the council, the Sifra. We needed experts. We needed brilliant minds to put this letter together so that they will write it in a language that was not understood by Koresh, and will write it in a way where we know in advance that when they will translate it, they'll translate it the wrong way, which will lead to a certain, give the king a certain impression, will force him to do a certain, react in a certain way, and then when someone will get up in Congress, in court, and say, this is illegal, you're doing wrong, but it was Nidik, we didn't do anything wrong, look at what we wrote it in Aramaic and translated, we wrote correctly, it's you're the ones who made the mistake in the translation. It was all deceit. There was a lot of things going on over here in order to pull it over, overcome the fact that the edict was issued that they allowed to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Now, one of the main techniques which is discussed, and we'll come to, hopefully we'll see some of these things soon, is what they did was they told Koresh that they're rebuilding the city. The decree was only that they're allowed to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and to serve Hashem, to return to the land and to be guests. You can be settlers in the land, but you can't make your own state. You can't rebuild Yerushalayim. Don't get too comfortable. So they, in their letter, were very careful to write in a very tricky way that they are rebuilding the city. They're rebuilding the city, and they are declaring their sovereignty. They're declaring their independence, and then the reaction will be stop. And the way the reaction will come about will be stop everything, stop even the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. They could not attack the Mikdash directly because that's irreversible. But if you attack it indirectly by talking about that they are rebelling and that they are rebuilding the city, and we have to take away their building supplies, we have to have a sanctions. No one is allowed to give them building materials to build the walls of the city, to build towers. Once they don't have access to cement and to wood and to stone to build the walls, they don't have access to building materials even to build the Beis HaMikdash. So it was done in a very clever way, and that's why we need over here the Bel Ta'aim, a person who's a master of logic, to understand how they will react. And we need a master of language, Shimshai Sofra, in order to succeed in pulling off this deceit, this trick, in being able to overcome the irreversible permission that Koresh allowed the Jews to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what we hear, what the Mitzubas and the Rashi are alluding to. Let's see over here, Pasuk Ches, one time quickly, Pasuk Ches, the El Taim, Hayodel, Sada, Divri, Aksab, Melitza, and Oysa. He knows how to arrange the words in a beautiful, beautiful expression. Sefra, Hayodel, he knows how to write. Today you think, what's the big deal? He knows how to write. Everyone knows how to write. Just go on the computer, you type a few letters. Once you have, obviously in those times it was much more sophisticated, much more complex to put something in writing. Kasu, heim kasu, igeres, achas. They wrote one letter, lahalshin, to slander, al Yerushalayim, period. Rechum hoya hamesader. Rechum was the supervisor, the arranger. Veshimshai hoya akos, he was the scribe. Kinma, Ratzalayma. What does the word kinema mean? Kinema. Divya geres hoya kasher nemar lamata lemar. Like Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, lemar. Saying, this is the text. And before we come into the text, pasuk test, we have Edayin, the letterhead. Before I'll tell you the exact nusach of the letter, let's first discuss the letterhead. Oz, ba'osa hamaymet, v'ho eitzo hoya rechum usher chavrehem, dayone heim shemos ovdei kochavim yuduos etzlam. That were known to them, asher yashu b'yorish shayron, v'ho yugam heima b'maymet ho eitzo hayyutsa. They were also part of this evil plan, this plot to prevent the building from being concluded. Rav Schwab writes, Rav Schwab, he did a lot of research, obviously you read a sefer, that we don't know who these nations are. There's very little record of exactly who these nine nations are. It seems they were very small nations that were relocated by Ashur. At this time, we know Kushim, the Shomronim. Those go back from, that's the Gemara. That's all the Kush, but the Kusim. But we don't know exactly who these other nations are. Ushar Mayo, Ushar Hoivdei Kachapasuk Yud, Ushar Hoivdei Kachavim Asher Hegla Asnapar. Who is Asnapar? Asnapar is another name for Vuhu Sancheriv Bilshoin Parsi. So that's Sancheriv in Persian. So even though Sancheriv was not a Persian, Sancheriv was from Assyria, Ashur. But when their records, it's the Persian equivalent of Sanchev. Like we said, Purim, we have Mordechai and Esther. Those are Persian names. If you wanted to refer to the story of Purim in Hebrew, it's the story of Bilshan and Hadassah. Bilshan is the Hebrew name for Mordechai. Hadassah is the Hebrew name for Esther. The story of Bilshan and Hadassah. You say that, you look at you, what are you talking about? You say Mordechai and Esther. Oh, Purim. But really, it's Bilshan and Esther. So Asnapar is the Persian name for Sancheriv. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Yud. Okay, one more time. Rab of Yakira, Kei Nikra Sancheriv. That's what he was called. Alki Hoyamelech Godol Umichubot. He was great and he was honored. Even though he had it's very funny that it says, because he had a humiliating defeat. He was, his army were 185,000 generals, the best, the most talented of the entire world, joined his forces, and they were all wiped out. 185,000 people wiped out the night of Pesach, and he was so embarrassed, so ashamed, he had to flee for his life, and he was killed by his own two sons. He wanted to sacrifice them to an idol, they killed him. So yet they call him, they rewrite, okay, they're rewriting history over here. You see over here these people, they're whitewashing history, they're calling him the great Umuchubah. The Hoysif, okay, Gzotait V'Hoysif, Hoysif V'Soyv V'Chav V'Hoym V'Orim Shal Shemrein. This Asnapa, the Rabbi of Yakira, he relocated these nations, these nine nations, in the city, in the region of Shemrein, Ratzalayim, or Hasmuchim La. Shemrein is a city, it's not not a region. It's not a region. It means in the surrounding areas. What do you mean? Didn't we learn in the previous pasuk that it was asar chadoin? Beno, that was his son. So he's asking a very, very basic question. We have a contradiction. In the previous pasuk, we learned that it was asar chadoin, the son. Beno hoshev asam biyarei shabam mikomakom. Amar shachoshev who al kihaya b'mitzvasai. So over here, the mitzudos is telling us the answer to this very important contradiction. On the one hand, it says it was Asar Chadoin, that was the son of Sancheriv, and here it says that the one that brought them was Osnapar Rabbah, the great Osnapar. The answer, it was a team. He gave the command, Sancheriv was the one who gave the command, but it was carried out by his son. It seems like his son was chief of staff. The son was the one that implemented all of the decrees, all of the activities of his father. He was his right-hand man. Okay, and then he writes, there were other people that were living, everyone else besides these nine nations that are mentioned explicitly. There are more. There are other nations that are here. On the side of Nahar Pras. What is Nahar Pras? The Euphrates. Hamafsik. This is very important. Mitzudos, he's coming to tell us this term, because this term is going to be repeated over and over again. It's Mafsik Bein Bovel Le'eretz Yisrael. Okay, the Euphrates in Tanakh is considered to be the boundary. Go look on the map today, it's not the boundaries, but in ancient times, boundaries are not just defined by geographic regions. It all refers also to the way you would travel. The classic example is Bovel Mitzafon Tiposach Hora'ah. From the north will begin the evil. And that refers to, that's in Yeshaya, referring to Bavel. Bavel is not the north. Bavel, in all accounts, is not the north. Bavel is the southwest of Eretz Yisrael. So what in the world does it mean in the pasuk Mitzafon Tiposach? So you'll tell me, oh, it's Kabbalah. I'm not into Kabbalah. That the Satan comes from the Tzafon. We're not into Nyani Kabbalah. From the Tzafon comes. The answer is, even though Bavel is in the southwest, how do you travel? You don't travel up east, north, east. You don't travel up going east. Because you can't. It's desert land. The only way you can travel is you gotta go up north, all the way up north, and come down. So from the perspective of those living in Eretz Yisrael, when they see the enemy coming, they're coming from the north. From the why? They don't live in the north. They live in the south. But the only way you can get here is by going all the way up north and coming down. Because you can't travel through the desert. So when you describe lands in ancient times, it's not just a matter of geography. It's a matter of being practical. How do you get here? So being that in their minds, there is the Nahar Pras. Even though Nahar Pras is not really a geographic boundary between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, but as far as in their minds, they were concerned, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you got to go over the Euphrates. So it was considered either Hanar is one side, that's Eretz Yisrael, and the other side of the Nahar is Bavel, even though Bavel really is not either Hanar. But it's a matter of perception. It's a very important thing in ancient times. Today, to a certain degree, we also have that. You go to Eretz Yisrael. You go to Eretz Yisrael. So I'm sure you all see on those fancy screens, because the earth is round. So you just can't go. You can't go west. You got to go. You can't go east. I'm sorry. I can't say west. I'm all mixed up. My east and my west is all mixed up. I'm sorry. When you're going southeast, I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep on mixing up my east and my west, the west coast, the east coast. I don't know what I'm thinking. But I'll show you a second. I can't even count one on one. I get mixed up. But when you go around the world, the earth is round, so you got to go up north. Now, you're going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to go up north. The curvature of the earth is so small in that area. That's not the reason. It's because of the desert. But again, there's a matter of perception of how you travel has an effect on the way you describe various things. Okay, back to the Mitzudos. So these other nations. So he tells over here that this Nahar Pras and Mafsik bin Bavel Eretz Yisrael. Now, here's another important thing in the Mitzudos. Vam Ke'enes. What in the world is Ke'enes? It's a very, mysterious nation, Ucheenes. We don't have any record of a nation called Cheenes at this point in time, before the building of the Bayis Sheni. The Gam Kenes, the Hushe Mokoim, Mitripolin, Metropolitan, Lechol Metropolis, a metropolis, Vuhushe Mokoim, Mitripolin, Lechol Eile, Verotzalaymar, Kol Eile, it's a place. It's a metropolis. So he does seem to say that it was a place. The Cheenes was a mokoim that was not known to us but did exist at this point in time. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi Ches and Tes and Yud. Rashi, Rashi, going back to Pasuk Ches, the Rashi is very easy, so they'll just run through the, they have a lot of Yisoidus, the Rashi. Ruchum Be'el Teim, Ruchum Hoya Maskir. He was the Maskir, Valdivarim Leseda Amirtav, and he was the one that, he was the recorder.
Arranger.
The arranger, so Maskir, you have this in Tanakh, the different Sefer Melachim, different people, the king always had a whole team, a cabinet. There was always a recorder, an official recorder of history. Okay, so he was the Maskir. V'shimshai Sifra, V'shimshai Chaya Sefer, Hu Shimshai Bino Shel Haman. Okay, Rashi tells us something very interesting. He was one of Haman's sons. Now he's not recorded. It's not clear if he's one of the Aseres Bnei Haman listed. Another name. It could be that he was one of them. Okay, I do not know. And he just had multiple names. That's obviously something we've come in contact with quite a bit. People have multiple names, or maybe he was another son. He was another son. Maybe he was killed before, or maybe he wasn't killed, he ran away. Whatever it was, but he was one of Haman's sons. Haman is the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael, and therefore he arranged this terrible accusation. This is extremely common in Tanakh to mention the sofer, the scribe, and the recorder. One person is in charge of the record, and he dictates to the scribe what exactly to write. Like we find in Melachim, El Yochoreif V'Achya Bnei Shisha Soifrim Yehoshafat Ben Achilud Achilah Maskir. Melachim Achir Nemar V'Yavoy El Yochim Ben Chilkiyahu V'Goymer V'Shevna HaSoifer. So that we learned that about V'Shevna V'Yoyach Ben Osaf HaMaskir. So we have in Tanakh these two, there's a team. It's always a team of Maskir, the one that records history, dictates what he wants to be recorded to the scribe. Kasu Igra. Before Purim. This is about 11 years before. No, not 11 years. It's a few years. It's not much. It's sort of probably the third year of Achashverosh. Like 6 years. About 6 years before Purim.
Yeah. Koresh
was king for how many years? 6 years? I don't remember. Koresh was king for about 6 years, and the story of Purim happened in the third year of Achashverosh. So three, and this letter is taking place, I believe, 3 years. 3 years into this accusation took 3 years into Koresh, I think. The third year of Koresh, because until they got there and they started building, he issued the proclamation at the end of his first year, and then it took them like a year to get there and to get going, and then a year later they started building the Beis Hamikdash. Then they made the accusation, and then he's going to put an end to it. So this, I think, is happening approximately 3 years into the Malchus of Koresh. After this event, I think Koresh lived for another 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. It could be I'm wrong. And then came his son Achashverosh. We discussed yesterday, it's a debate, either Achashverosh was his biological son, and some opinions hold that he was not a biological. What? No. Achashverosh. Achashverosh was the son of Koresh. Koresh was also called, then Achashverosh had a son, Daryovesh. He was, that's also debatable. Was he the biological son of Esther, or was he an adopted son of Esther? And he was the one that gave permission once again to rebuild, to continue building the Beis HaMikdash. Achashverosh was king for 11 years. For 11 years, and in the third year of Achashverosh is when the story happened, of the Purim story. Kasu Igra, Halalu, Shneem, Ruchum, B'Shemshai, Kasu Hayeres, Kasher Tziva, El Yochim, El Aleihem, Mitirdas, V'Tovel, from those that we mentioned, those people were mentioned yesterday. Those people were from
the nine...
Mitirdas v'tavel, where do those names appear? Mitirdas v'tavel. So these people at the advice. So there's a lot of names, a lot of people coming together. We have here nine nations, plus Ke'enes, Ushar Maya, plus that 10 and the whole other region. And the mask here is Rechum, the Sefer is Shimshai, but you can't forget about what it says in Pasuk Zayin, Misridos and Tovel. They were the ones who instigated the letter. They were the brains behind the entire thing, Misridos and Tovel. So that's what Rashi was coming to point out, that Kasher Tziva Alehem Misridos v'Tovel. The Kulam Hayim Yushavim Ba'ari Yisham. So Rashi here is telling us that the one that instigated the entire thing is Misridos and Tovel. They told Rechum and Shimshai to form the text, the exact words, to compose the nusach, and to put it in writing, and to represent the entire region, the nine nations, plus Ch'enes and Ushar Amaya. And they were all living Ba'orei Shimroin Al Yerushalayim. It was concerning, so here already is the secret. Look very carefully what it says. Notice the letter has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. The letter has what to do? The Jews are rebuilding Yerushalayim. That's fair game. Why is that fair game? Because the decree of Koresh was only to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. They're going too far to the building Yerushalayim. And they're going to word it in a very clever way, so when the response will come, translated, everything will get lost in translation, it will be a blanket prohibition, all construction must come to end. And then we'll come to blame them. How dare you? This was illegal. It was unjustified because there was a prior edict. We didn't do anything wrong. Look at the text. The text is Al Yerushalayim. So why then did they respond? Because they don't know how to translate. The people in the palace are shaitan. The people in the palace are not. They don't have the best people. They're hired. They're getting paid a minimum wage. They don't have the best translators. Everything here was done with chachma. The enemies always know how to beat the system. The people in power are always the tamim. They're always the simpletons. They always get taken advantage of.
The area in Yerushalayim could be the Beis HaMikdash.
But it was concerning Binyan Beis HaMikdash Asher B'Yerushalayim, but did not say anywhere in the letter of the word, as some Mepharshim said, explain this. Could be the Ibn Ezra, the Mepharshim. They did not say anything about specific about Yerushalayim. It was said about Beis HaMikdash, but it does not say anything specific about the Beis HaMikdash. It says specifically about they are rebuilding Yerushalayim. Let's see.
In Yerushalayim.
Okay, in Echanami. Okay, the Beis HaMikdash. Kinema, Kasher Nemar, Vudugmas Loshim Gemara, Kidbeinon Lememar Kamon. Just like when the Gemara in Aramaic says, like we will say later on, that's what the word Kinema, as we will say in the future, Psukim coming up. Next Rashi, Pasuk Tes, Edayin, then, we had this in Daniel only 100 times, Ozen, Ruchum Shemadam, Beltaim Maskir Baldvarm, Ushar Ki Neva Sehon, Ushar Co Sehem, their friends, their companions, their supporters. Now we have their associates, now we have over here a list of nine nations, Dinoye, Viar, the Afarsi Sochoye, Halolu Kulam Shemo Shal Akum Shohishiv Sancheriv Beore Shemoin. Afarsaya, Hain Parsiim, they were Persians. Persians will also relocate. So they're very interesting. Okay, that we're loyal to you. And that's something that also comes out later on, is that we're, I say in Yiddish, you're landsman?
Landsman,
we're one of your own. They had that to their advantage because Sancheriv relocated some of the Persians. So we're cousins. You gotta listen to us. We're first cousins. You gotta do it. It's mishpacha. We come from the same place. So they use this to their advantage. Afarsaya heim parsoyim shohoshiv sancher b'ari shemoin arkovoye heim b'nei aroch. So Rashi tells aroch shnemar ve'erech ve'eked ve'chelna. These are places listed in Chumash. V'chalne. About Kore. Kore knows this stuff inside out. What?
Arki,
okay, fine, okay. Bablaya, Hebnei Bavel, Shush, Nechaya, Bnei Shushan, like you mentioned, Bnei Shushan Habira from Persia, Shushan Habira, fine. Al Maya, Bnei Elam, Mikolo Akam Alalu Hoshev Sanchet Beret Yisrael, Vukulam Hoyu Meshivin Umaskimim, Meshivin Umaskimim, Beshlicho Samichlav Hazeh. Everyone is in agreement. It's an impressive letter. The whole world agrees. Everyone, Eva Hanar, does not want this city, Yerushalayim, to be rebuilt. Pasig Yud Rashi, Ushar Umaya, Ushar Akam Ushar Hegla Sanchet Vukulam Hiskimu, Asna Par Sanchet, Rabbi Yakir Shay Melch Godol Umuchubod, Shememar Koyamar Hamelch Hagodol Melch Hashur, so says the great King Melch Hashur. Don't think this is what you told Yeshaya. Don't think Chizkiyahu, you're going to be spared. The same way I conquered the entire world, the same way I conquered the Malchus of Yisrael, I'm coming back for you. I'm going to conquer Yerushalayim as well. And he called himself the Melech HaGodol. Next, V'hoisav Yehimo, Hoishav Yisam, B'korei Di Shemon, B'orim Asher Sivos Shemon, U'shor Na'avar Nahara. Now what does that mean? So we learned the Mitzudo. So here he says the same as the idea. U'shor Ha'akum Asher Be'eder HaNohar. Rashi says the same idea. Lufi Yishahanar Nahar Pras Mafsik Ben Eretz Sisho Lubavel Nimtzu oison akum shetletzad eretz Yisrael heim be'ever hanohar. It's all relative to which side of the Nohar you are. Lo'oison ha'oimdim be'bavel. If you're in Bavel, then you call those in Eretz Yisrael. You call those in the west. You call them the Ever Hanar. If you're living in Eretz Yisrael, then you call those living in Bavel in the east. You call them the Ever Hanar. Everyone is on the other side of the river. Uche'enes. Now, what is this? Hey, Shem Makoyim V'Anshe. It's the name of the place. Just like what the Mitzvah says. I don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. Metropolis. We don't know what this is. Rav Schwab, he writes that he thinks, I don't remember some sources, it's an Aramaic form of Kenan, Eretz Kenan, the whole Eretz Kenan, and that goes, asks this question, what is Kenan? If we have already listed Shomrein and we've listed the Ever Hanar, all of the nations be Ever Hanar, so what then is Kenan? So either it's just a generic term for the Ever Hanar, everyone on the other side of the Nahar is also called Kenan, which really is true. An ancient biblical, the early ten nations of Kenan, not seven, but whatever. Or Rav Schwab, I think Rav Schwab says it means further north. Keep on going. We listed the nine nations. The nine nations pretty much end at Shomrein. Okay, Shomrein is north. It's north of Yerushalayim, but there's more land and there are more people living even higher. Go even higher, all the way up to Aram Tzoiva, all the way higher up. That is called still the ancient Canaan, like where Tsar and Sidon is. Keep on going. That's Canaan. They also are masking that we got to put an end to this construction. Okay, so we'll stop over here. So we're up to Pasuk Gid Aleph. Thank you.